Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Lost My Woman, My Dog, and My Cable TV Service Department here at Car Talk Plus.
Or otherwise, the worst country song titles, which came from a website called The Worst Country Song Titles. And I think they're not the worst. These are the absolute best. Oh, I'm going to give you a couple of times. We've done this before, and I always like all my exes live in Texas and stuff like that. But this list, man, I'm going to just give you a smattering. I gave her my heart and a diamond, and she clubbed me with a spade. How did you get so ugly overnight? Mama, get the hammer. There's a fly on Papa's head. I'd rather pass a kidney stone than another night with you. I would have wrote you a letter, but I couldn't spell yuck. I'll give you just a couple of more. How about this one? My phone ain't been ringing, so I guess it wasn't you. Oh, man. And everyone knows Drop Kick Me Jesus to the Goalpost of Life.
Of course.
And one of my real favorites, they may put me in prison, but they can't stop my face from breaking out. These are beauties. Absolutely beauties.
I'd rather pass a kidney stone than another knife with you.
And now, these are not made up because this guy has, in many cases, the author of the song and who has performed it.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
So this is real stuff, man. This is reality radio.
You just don't watch enough country music television, man. Anyway.
We live in the wrong part of the country.
Absolutely.
Most Texans are having too much fun.
Yeah, and we're not. If you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Erica.
Erica, where are you from, Erica?
Birmingham, Alabama.
So that's just E-R-I-C-A.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Well, don't mean her name.
I think it's fine.
You said it's just E-R-I-C-A.
No, I didn't mean
just
that in a derogatory.
Just boring old E-R-I-C.
No, I didn't. Absolutely not. You misinterpreted
plain
my...
Plain brown wrapper.
No, if she were from some wacko place like Montana, it would be E-O-R-I-Q-U-E-A or something. I thought it was nice.
Charming?
She's just a charming, plain, straightforward woman.
Thank you.
What's up, Erica?
Oh, my car, my Toyota Camry.
Ah, okay.
And I know y'all like Camrys.
We do.
But I'm planning to drive this. I've got it at 113,000 miles, and I'm going to get it to 200,000.
Sure you will.
And for the past year or so, I've been having this problem, and it's becoming more frequent. But it's the sound that happens when I turn on the car.
Hmm.
And the only way I can describe it is if you've ever had a car running.
And you turn the key.
Yeah, and you go to turn it on, not paying attention, that might already be on, being distracted or
you
whatever.
You have an automatic transmission?
Yes, sir.
Sort of like the sound that my wife makes when I get home from work at night.
Exactly.
I say, hi, hon, I'm here.
And this gets, I mean, when it happens,
yeah.
Well, everyone around me thinks I'm doing this to the car on purpose.
Right.
Or something, and it's just...
Right. And you say, I'm not. I'm just trying to start the beast.
Well, the sound you have is called gear clash.
Mm. Gear clash.
I mean, and it is almost exactly the sound that you hear when you turn the key and the engine's running, because almost the same thing is happening.
It's akin to what happens when my brother dresses himself. It's called color clash.
Color clash. Yeah.
And what's happening is that you have worn teeth on the ring gear or the flywheel, and you're not getting a good mesh between that gear and the gear, the pinion gear that's on the starter drive.
Yeah, in the old days, speaking of old days, the way you started the car, the way you get it started is you got to get the pistons moving up and down
so that it
gets the idea, and then you throw in some gasoline and a little spark, and then it goes by itself. But if the pistons aren't first moving up and down by themselves, then nothing happens. So the old days, they had a crank that they stuck in the front of the car, and they actually turned the crankshaft. But that got tiring after
I think
a
you,
while.
You haven't gone back. I think you need to go back farther, like when man first stood erect. You go back to that era.
I mean, you're throwing out all these terms like ring gear, pinion gear. You don't even know what you're talking about. I'm trying to ban you out. I'm trying.
I'm doing this so Erica can write it down. Huh?
My name is simple, so let's make the answer.
Well, I was trying to make it simple by not embellishing it with all this historical background. You're giving it the facts, lady.
No. I like history, though.
You like? No, all right.
Sure.
Like
she's an art history major.
Go ahead. Tell her the story.
Jeez. I appreciate this.
Yeah, I know.
So now, instead, we have an electric motor in there that does the cranking that people used to do with an actual crank. And in order for it to work, we're going to have gears that mesh together.
Okay.
And when they don't mesh together properly, you get, which is what you got.
How many times, how often does this happen?
It's happening once or twice a day now.
Yeah. Well, how much money have you got?
How much do I need?
Well, you may need several hundred.
You're going to need a couple hundred.
Really?
Is this a V6?
Yes.
Ooh.
And see, I didn't want to take it to anybody because I didn't want them to create some kind of problem.
Oh, no, don't worry.
They haven't created it. I mean, I suppose the good news is that... making it worse is not going to cost you anymore.
Okay.
However, at some point, the car's not going to start.
Oh, gosh, really?
Well, because it's like every day that you do this, you knock out a couple of teeth, and very soon you can't see any teeth, you know? And then it won't start at all. So you ought to do it. There's no sense
on the other hand,
waiting.
I mean... In the interest of science, you may want to see how long you can go without doing anything. And you may be able to go another 50,000 or so.
Nah, who's interested in science anyway?
You might be able to go another 50,000. I mean, the damage is done. The die is cast.
Yeah, well, but it could get worse.
It can't get worse. The worst it can get is that it doesn't start, which is no worse than having run out of gas someday or having your fuel pump fail. I mean, there are many ways.
You never know the circumstances under which it won't start. I mean, you're sitting in your house and you decide you want lemonade. All right, it's a little scenario, an obvious little scenario.
Okay.
So you get a lemon out of the refrigerator and you get some ice and water and... You start to cut the lemon in half with the biggest knife that you have, and you slice off your little finger.
Right.
You're bleeding profusely. You stick your finger in the lemon, and you wrap it up with the towel, and you run out to the driveway. You turn the key, and it goes nothing. Now, is that what you want? No. That could happen.
All right. Refrain from lemonade making.
I wouldn't make any lemonade while right. this symptom persists.
So I would do nothing. I would stay home and just stare out the window.
And just wait for the day.
And wait for the day. All right. I'm convinced. Get it fixed.
No, get it fixed.
True.
I mean, you're shooting for 200,000.
Yeah, you'll
so
never make it.
That couple hundred.
You'll never make it to 200 like this. Why not get it fixed tomorrow? And enjoy noise-free starting
right.
for the next...
113,000 miles. That's how long the first one lasted. The second one will last just as long.
So I do have to agree with my brother. I would fix it.
Plus,
if
you adopt this attitude of waiting for things, pretty soon, like, a door handle breaks and you don't fix it. A headlight breaks, you don't fix it. Someone taps you on the side, you got a big dent, you don't fix it.
Next thing you know, and someday you'll walk out of the house.
And you say, Tom's visiting.
And in your driveway will be a 63 Dart. That's what happened to him.
That's what happened.
See you, Erica.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi,
yes.
Who's this?
How you doing?
All right.
I love your show.
Thanks.
Yeah,
Dad?
My name is Steve Ironimo.
Hi,
no
Steve.
Last names, please.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Cedar Rapids. Cedar Rapids. I can't say that I've been there. But...
That's what I thought when I first heard it.
Yeah.
Where the hell is it?
where were you coming from when you did that?
California.
So you went from California. Where in California?
Fresno.
Fresno. Yeah. And you went from Fresno to Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
What drew you there? A woman? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife made me do it.
Is she a Cedar Rapidian?
Yep.
She is,
she is.
Yeah, she was born out here in Iowa.
That'll do it.
Yeah, okay. Every time.
So now that you're leading this life of quiet desperation, what can we do for you?
Yeah, I got it's a 83 Honda Accord.
Yeah.
And that sucker is blowing smoke out of the
tailpipe?
No, out of the valve cover gasket. And sometimes out of the carburetor.
Oh, yeah?
I've heard three different things. It could be the PCV valve. and my 18-year-old thinks it's the rings.
Your 18-year-old is onto it.
You think so, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You've got what's called in the trade wicked bad blow by.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wicked bad. WBB.
WBBB. Wicked bad blow by.
Okay.
Oh, that's two words, blow by?
Oh, yeah.
I always thought it was one.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. How many hundreds of thousands of miles are on this car?
It's got 113,000 miles.
Gee, that's soon.
It was a used car. I paid $400 for it.
Oh.
And well, it ran good.
Yeah, well, it still probably runs pretty good.
Yeah, it does. I want to rebuild the engine on it.
Yeah, well, that's you're about to do that.
Okay.
It's time to do that.
Okay.
Ash, is the 18-year-old son going to participate?
He wants it to take it to his high school and take it to the auto shop.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's good at these things.
Yeah, I would say that you should do that because you have very little to lose.
Okay.
I mean, even if they really screw it up bad, it's only an 83 Accord that's gone.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty good chance that they'll make it run.
And they'll probably do it better than most of the mechanics.
Sure.
Well, they might. They might.
Yeah. I think so.
Actually, it's pretty easy to do a ring job on this thing if you're not... Well, if you don't want to rebuild the whole thing.
No, just the rings.
They can just take the cylinder head off.
Okay.
And drop the pan, and you can do a ring job.
Okay. That shouldn't be too difficult.
Oh, no. You have to pay for the parts? Is that the way auto shop works?
Yeah, we pay for the parts, and he does the labor for free.
Yeah, so you'll
need
to...
That's the way he's learning.
Oh, that will be his own personal project.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's about time they teach him something in high school.
Yeah, besides that reading, writing, and arithmetic stuff.
Yeah, get them in the mechanics.
Yeah, so they can do something useful for dear old dad.
Yeah.
You will be the beneficiary of your son's knowledge.
Yeah, I think so.
And then you can give him the car as a gift.
He's a smart kid. Well, but, my 18-year-old wants a Harley. He don't think small.
No.
Tell him to work on the Honda. That's about his speed for now.
He's 18 years old and weighs 280 pounds, and he's 6'4".
Oh, the Honda's too small for him.
We had a minivan and no room.
Of course, the name implied it's a minivan.
Yeah, I know, but you got kids that are 200 pounds plus.
I think you need a trip back to Fresno, Steve.
Yeah. You're having a little... I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of Iowa anyway.
Yeah,
I can see that.
You're starting to flip out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you have any family back home that you can freeload off of for a week or two in Fresno?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My mom and dad and all my brothers are in Fresno area.
Yeah, go visit.
Yeah,
I have been.
You're losing it, man.
6 years since I've seen them.
Oh, they probably moved. They changed.
They've certainly
changed the locks on the doors.
I told my wife that once the kids are around, I'm going to move and I ain't going to tell them. Once they're out of the house, we're gone.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, Steve, good luck with the Honda.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See, another guy you could have cappuccino.
Oh, yeah. No, Steve's all right.
They may not have cappuccino in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I've never had the pleasure or displeasure of being there. But, Steve, you know, you can just tell.
You can tell. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bill Chestnut from Pleasant Plains, Illinois.
Bill.
Pleasant Plains, Illinois.
Right.
Gee, you know, you sound a little bit like Tom Baudet.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Just say this. We'll leave the light on for you.
We'll leave the light on for you.
Oh, very good.
You're hired.
All right.
You can be his body double. So what's up, Bill?
Got a question for you guys. I listened to your show, and I heard an emergency repair involving a pair of pantyhose.
Yeah.
Let me set this up. A guy's belt tensioner broke for his serpentine belt.
Mm-hmm.
He's out in the middle of nowhere, so I took a pair of my daughter's tights and tied them around the crankcase pulley and the water pump.
Uh-huh.
And we got about 3 miles down the road, and the tights came off. Now, the question I've got, did I use the wrong color? Should I have used regular pantyhose or...
I think it takes queen size.
Yeah.
What kind of a car was it?
It was a Buick Century.
Oh, yeah. The Century and up are all queen size.
Well, because the Century is a mid-size car.
Yeah.
You know, if it had been a compact, you could have used the tights.
Yeah, okay. You're going to go for queen size.
How old is your daughter? She's like 11, right?
Well, 7.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
Way too small. Yeah.
So we stretch it out.
Yeah, I think so,
the
yeah.
The little tights like that, they're for like a tercel.
Yeah. So the color didn't matter.
The color doesn't matter, no.
Okay.
Well, let's see. This was from the crankshaft of the water pump.
Right.
Yeah, that color doesn't matter. You go around the alternator, though, and you got to make sure AC or DC. Then you could run into trouble. You could run into trouble there.
You're right. The tights wouldn't have fit. On the plus side, she wasn't real happy when I took them off of her, but she got over that.
She did, huh?
Yeah, no, that does work, you know.
Okay, so what'd they do wrong? Why'd they fall off?
Oh, no. Well, to tell you the truth, back in the old days when belts were V-belts, you know, they were shaped like a V, and so was the pulley. That trick would work a lot better. You probably have the modern style on this car where the belt is a grooved belt.
Right.
And there's no, instead of having just one deep groove, modern belts are flat, and they have a whole bunch of little grooves, like 3 or 4 or 5. And it's tough to keep the thing in those little grooves. So that pantyhose trick worked a lot better on cars like my brother's.
So the trick is get an old car.
Get an old car and carry pantyhose around. And if that doesn't get you arrested, I don't know what will.
Okay, great.
See
you,
Bill.
Thanks for calling, Bill.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay, look, we have to pause right now and take a break.
Oh, station identification?
No, station underwritification. We'll be right back in a minute.
I've got a new road under my wheels. In my heart there's a new little song. My blues and my worries are over. From now on I'm traveling alone. Well, there's a new day coming tomorrow. Every day's a good day for me. Yesterday took my heartache and sorrow. Today from the past I am free.
And even though Diana Nyad turns and swims back to Cuba whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to discuss, of course, what? Cars, car repair, and the art of the reused puzzler.
How long can this go on?
It shouldn't be reused. I hate that word. Yeah. Repurposed is much better.
Repurposed, yeah.
Just a quick reminder that there's no puzzler answer this week because our beloved puzzler is still on, what, summer vacation. So if you've got a real bad case of puzzleritis, just go to cartalk.com and we'll infuse you right there. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Karen, and I'm from Cedarburg, Wisconsin.
Cedarburg.
Hi, Karen.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. That's cedar like the tree?
Yes.
And B-U-R-G?
Yeah.
Now, this is not going to make any difference to me, but what part of Wisconsin is Cedarburg in?
It's the southeastern part of the state. We're about 20 minutes north of...
I'm going to explain it to my brother. Wait, this is the part that's near West Virginia.
I was just going to say,
yes,
is that right near West Virginia?
Yeah, that's the part.
I've got it. Okay.
It's the other hill over that. No, it's about 20 minutes north of Milwaukee.
Oh.
Yeah, that's just said, the part near West Virginia. So what's up, Karen?
I have a 1964... Citroën 2CV.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
The famous Deux Chevaux.
Deux Chevaux.
Yes,
two horses.
Indeed.
Right, right. She's blue.
One horse is something.
Did you buy this new?
No. No, I did not.
So what's your problem? I mean, problems.
Right. I am in first gear, and it pulls like a little freight train in first gear. Oh, I must get up to about 5 miles an hour.
Yep.
And as I'm segueing into second, and I'm reaching up to about 30 kilometers per hour,
wow,
it begins to shudder horribly. The whole car goes, and then, you know, that it just shudders, and then it's something magical. I hit 30 and it stops, and it smooths out.
Uh-huh.
Have you taken it to the dealer?
Now, what happens when you shift into third gear?
It's smooth. It's really smooth.
How about third gear at 30 kilometers per hour? It's still smooth?
No, it would be shuddering.
It would be. So 30 kilometers per hour is the common denominator here.
Exactly.
That's the cause of the problem.
Right.
And you want to know what that is.
Yeah, I was trying to think, would it be the drive shaft?
Does it have a drive
shaft? Does it have one?
I don't know. It probably does.
I don't think so.
Is it bent?
Oh, no. I mean, you could very easily have something like a tie rod end that's a day away from breaking.
Uh-huh.
Or if it had such a thing, a ball joint or some such thing.
There
is some steering or suspension component that is very worn out, and at that speed, it's making the wheel shake like crazy.
Well, I have to say that I'm not getting any real strong feelings about anything.
Well, just to be on the safe side, have someone put it up on the lift.
Okay.
And check out the ball joints, if it has ball joints, or it has something. It has ball joints or trunnions or kingpins or some such thing. But there is something that holds the steering knuckle onto the rest of the car.
Okay.
And it certainly has tie rod ends of some kind.
Okay.
And I suspect that one or more of those things is so worn out that it's a day away from breaking. And that's causing your vibration. And if it were to break, it would cause your death.
Well,
so to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
Unless you want to be like the French and just drive them until you die.
Yeah.
Right.
I would get it looked at.
Look,
and what are you doing driving this thing? What are you, some kind of a nutcase? Why are you driving this thing?
It's my summer ride.
So you went to France one year. You were smitten with these little junk boxes.
No.
You brought one back.
It was American Graffiti and Richard Dreyfuss.
Ah. That did it.
Driving around in that car, and it was...
That was a movie!
I was ruined. I was absolutely ruined.
That's what's wrong with America. We can't separate the reality from fiction.
You got a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with that either. No.
Junk this piece of junk and go out and buy yourself a real car.
Have fun, Karen.
All right.
See you, Karen.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, can I read some mail?
Sure. I mean, I was just going to answer some questions about cars, but I don't see why that's necessary on this show.
No,
so
it's not.
Go ahead.
Well,
who cares?
Well, after I read this, you may change your mind.
Okay, go ahead.
You may just change your mind.
I have an open mind. Open and shut.
Car Talk Self-Esteem Clinic, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, from Bill Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Dear Round Pegs. Ooh. In squirrels. While at my local alignment shop getting the $25 special, I was holding up one of their trade publications, and I looked out at the magazine and read the enclosed article, and here it is, Technicians Make Small Gains in Trust Category.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Trust category. That's
so their trust funds are improving.
Trust funds are doing good.
Okay.
And here's what it said. People distrust their mechanics. Duh. What I found interesting was that the survey put mechanics below hairstylists in loyalty.
Really?
Which makes me wonder, would you and Ray have done better had you bagged the mechanic stuff and done hair?
Well,
think about this now. He says, look at the facts. One, you don't know much about cars.
That's true.
Two, you like to talk, which is what hairdressers are very good at. Three, you prefer to discuss the caller's relationships and feelings rather than their car problems, which is what binds hairstylists to their clients. You might be able to use the same tools. I don't know. Use the lift. He says, Ray would look good in a smock. And you could flit around the shop with a grande latte advising on romance and hair length, convincing Mrs. Fishbein she really does look 20 years younger in that purple buzz cut. Perhaps you could have a caller contest to name the new shop. Respectfully, William D. Johnson. Well, I think this may be something. I mean, how do you fall into a line of work? It's just falling into it.
We fell into this.
We fell into this. We could have fallen into hair instead.
And we've stepped in worse. Now, I want people to remember that the tourists have now left our fair city because what? It is now the season of self-imposed hibernation and hard work.
Yes.
I mean, the goofing off time is all gone. Everyone's all back gone to work.
Yeah, no more shorts. You can't wear shorts anymore. You got to wear long pants, long sleeves.
That's it. What am I wearing?
Winter.
Long pants.
Flannel.
Long sleeves. Long underwear. Anyway, Tommy's had a hard time because the tourists are all gone, and he can't beg for change in the square, so he's taken to reading mail again. So if you have some mail you'd like to send him, send it to Tommy, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or you can email him from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-8. Even if you wouldn't like to call us,
the number
is, regardless, is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Charlie from Berea, Kentucky.
Hi, Charlie.
Berea.
Berea.
B-U-R-I-A?
B-E-R-E-A.
Berea.
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 Unless you're mowing yards around here.
Yeah, like Yogi Berea played for the Yankees.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, hit all those home runs in the World Series. We know him.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's up, Charlie?
Well, I've got a 1991 Ford Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago, Teresa and I drove across the mountains to Asheville. Teresa's a potter, and we needed to get a ton of clay for her.
So literally a ton of clay.
Literally a ton of clay. So I drove to Asheville, pulling a trailer,
mm-hmm,
loaded up the ton of clay.
Yeah.
So driving up out of Asheville, long grade, just as the sun is setting, which is in my face, I look into the rearview mirror and discover I'm spewing great clouds of something.
Oh.
Mm. White smoke?
White smoke.
Oh.
So I said, oh, head gasket.
Mm.
Check the gauges. The gauges are good.
Mm-hmm.
Pull over, ascertain that I am losing transmission fluid.
The transmission fluid was down pretty low, or you could actually see it leaking out of somewhere?
None on the dipstick.
None?
None.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I bought 3 quarts of transmission fluid,
mm-hmm,
and drove 100 miles, put another quart of transmission fluid in.
And during all this driving, what was the smoke situation?
None.
None.
So 2 weeks later, I have not burned any or lost any transmission fluid. What's going on?
Well, when you said you were burning it, I mean, it wasn't coming.
No, it wasn't burning. I've never gotten a smell of burning. It just lost it.
Yeah, you have a transmission cooler line leaking. That's what you have. I don't think, I mean, your transmission isn't burning the stuff up.
Uh-huh.
But you have a transmission cooler, and there are a couple of lines that go to it. You know, hydraulic
radiator, right?
Yeah, hydraulic lines, and I bet you one or more of those is leaking just enough to account for the loss.
Yeah, and now account for this white smoke.
The white smoke was a red herring. The white smoke is the blown head gasket that you don't know you have yet. That's what the white smoke is, Charlie.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. No, I don't think so. I'm not worried about the white smoke.
Did I just overheat the transmission?
No, I don't believe you overheated. I'm telling you, you got a cooler line that's leaking, and what's happened is it's obviously going to leak worse when you're traveling at sustained high engine revs. And driving around town, it's not leaking very much, and that's why you haven't added anything lately.
And my brother's theory is that the smoke had nothing whatever to do with it. But, I would have to say that it hadn't. I agree with my brother.
I think it's just as likely that you ran over a bottle of talcum powder. That another unfortunate motorist had lost by the side of the road. I think that's what happened.
I do agree with my brother that I don't think the white smoke had anything to do with the transmission.
Unless it's a blown head gasket.
Right. But that's not the transmission. Because it's impossible. From all my vast knowledge of transmissions and engines and tailpipes, that the three aren't connected in a way that could cause white smoke to blow out the tailpipe.
Well,
here's one. A transmission fluid leak on a hot exhaust.
Exactly.
System.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yes.
That you got transmission fluid on the exhaust system somewhere, and that white smoke naturally came out the back because as you're going forward, you're leaving stuff where? Behind you.
You got it.
And you left the white smoke behind you, and that would be the only logical explanation. I'm sticking with the cooler line.
I like the cooler line.
Have your shop check the transmission cooler lines, and I bet you they find a leak.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Good luck, Charlie.
Thanks.
He doesn't believe a word we said. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Calling from Boulder, Colorado.
Is that with an I-N-E or a Y-N?
Y-N.
I had Y-N.
Y-N. From Boulder?
From Boulder.
Yeah, so what's up, Carolyn?
Okay, well, first of all, I have to start by saying I love my husband. He is a wonderful guy.
But he's
great
a dope,
guy.
Huh? He's a dope, huh?
No, no.
Well, I mean, it's nice that you started
you gave away
off
his table saw.
Okay, no.
His Corvette.
Okay. No. Now, he listens to you guys, so oh. I'm not, you know, setting you up, but you should side with me, of course.
Okay.
Here's what he does. We have an automatic. We're driving down the road. We're in the city. You know,
comes to a stoplight and throws it in neutral.
Throws it into second. Downshift.
Second.
I'm like, it's an automatic. You're not supposed to downshift an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's wrecking the car.
So, Carolyn, what's it to you?
Well, first of all, because I have to pay half the car payment.
Well, it's annoying, right?
That. And it's like a man thing. They got to, you know, they're there every minute. We don't have a standard. Keep your hands, you know, on the wheel.
Well, what he really longs for is a stick shift.
Correct.
Either you got to buy a stick shift or get off his case.
But he's not hurting anything.
Oh, come on.
No, what's going to hurt?
Come on. What do you want us to say?
Because doesn't the engine automatically downshift? So when he does that, he's ruining it.
No, he's not ruining anything.
He's just
doing what the transmission is going to do anyway.
It's going to do it, but he's doing it first.
Preemptively.
And that's fine.
Or maybe it's already in second by the time he downshifts into second.
And in which case, he's really doing nothing. He just thinks he is, and that's good enough.
The only danger of doing this,
yes,
and I've done this in the past, not that I downshift coming to lights, but I
throw it in reverse.
That when you upshift into drive, that you go into reverse or some such thing. Or worse than that, you forget that you've downshifted into second. And I found myself on the highway driving at 55 miles an hour.
And 8,000 RPM.
Driving in second gear. And I would like to apologize to the Chrysler Corporation for the vehicle that I test drove
that day.
But what are you paying extra for in an automatic? So that the engine does this itself, right?
Well that's
yes,
all true.
It is absolutely unnecessary, and it is. We can tell from the tone of your voice that this ticks you off, but it is not injurious to the engine or the transmission.
Okay, I can't believe it. Really.
I know, and I'm sure you're going to call some other show.
The solution is for him to get a standard.
And let him get a stick shift next time.
Well, you know what you can do? You should buy one of those Chrysler's, what do they call it?
Oh, yes.
Tip shift?
Auto stick.
Auto stick, that's it. And other cars have this as well, like
Porsche. Right.
And what it is, it's an automatic transmission, but if you want to, you can shift up and shift down.
That's exactly what he needs.
And that's just what he needs. That way, when he drives, I mean, this is really cute. I mean, you put it in drive.
Right.
And you go along. But then if you tap the shifter one way, it'll go up a gear. If you tap it the other way, it'll go down a gear. You tap it twice, it goes down two gears. So you can play around with this thing all day.
This is just for you.
Why does he have to play around with it anyways?
Because it's a guy thing.
Guys like to play around with it. I mean, what do you want? I don't tell you anything more than that.
It's a guy thing. Because if you don't, you have to feel useful. I mean, men have become so emasculated, we have nothing left to show how good we are at anything. Get in the car. In the old days, at least you had to, like, double clutch and shift, and it was hard. And
yeah, there was
no power steering.
Yeah, we used to be required to take out the trash. Now we have a trash compactor. I mean, everything has been taken away from us.
Everything's taken away.
Well, you know, he used to play with the overdrive button. He'd be overdrive button on, overdrive button off. Every time we'd get on the highway.
Yeah.
Every time we go in the mountains, overdrive button on, overdrive button off.
Well, yeah, he was right to do that. He was
right. In the mountains.
Oh, that's good.
Especially in the mountains, you have to play around with the overdrive button. You women don't understand diddling, do you?
Whoa, Tommy's going to be sleeping in the garage another month. Before my brother gets in deeper trouble, we'll say goodbye, Carolyn.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Hey, look, it's time to take another temporary cancellation.
All right, this is one of those 60-second cancellations that help us practice for the real thing. Is that
you it? Got it. Stay tuned. We'll be reinstated in just a minute.
Love is like this ride down a long dusty road. You close your eyes, you don't look back, you have to go.
And even though mathematicians try to figure out how 1 + 1 can equal 0 whenever we say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and not the new Puzzler.
No, my brother begged me for one more week. He said, please, I'm begging you. I'll do anything. And I said, okay, buy me a 1940 Buick convertible, and we'll wait till next week for the Puzzler. And since you're not doing a new Puzzler, I guess that we have a deal. Is that it?
Sure. You take Tonka, don't you? Well, if you're pining for the Puzzler, you can head over to Puzzler Central on the web, where you can get a classic archival Puzzler every week that the Puzzler's away.
Mm.
Once the Puzzler comes back, of course, that'll be the end of that.
Yeah.
And that's over at cartalk.com. And that's it. I mean, that's the only message I have. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Tom Zengel from Rockville, Maryland.
Yeah.
Hi, Tom. What's up?
Listen, I have a really shocking problem down here, and I thought I'd consult some experts, but you guys are cheaper instead.
Yeah, okay. As long as we're on the right wavelength here.
Wise guy.
What's up?
Okay, I've got a 1987 Nissan Pathfinder.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
And it's got the sport package. And it's got the adjustable suspension.
Yeah.
So it's got this little button in front that you can change from touring mode to sport mode.
Yeah.
And the shocks are original shocks, so they're basically gone.
Oh, where did you find out what it cost to replace
those? They were
those?
Gone a long, long time ago.
Well, they're going to be just fine when you find out.
Well, that's what I'm calling you about.
Yeah.
I think you're ahead of me. They're not leaking, but they're definitely gone. I checked out the prices on these things, and it's incredible.
How much did they give you? What is it, $1,500 for all four?
Well, for all where I am, for all four and to parts and labor, I'm looking at about $850.
Oh,
and
cheap.
That's a deal.
All four of them?
All four.
Oh yeah,
all four. And so my question is, do I really need these things, or can I put on the basic Pathfinder shocks, not these adjustable things?
Yeah, well, that's a good, that's an excellent question, Thomas. If people named Thomas always come up with the brilliant, insightful questions.
I totally agree with him.
I knew you would. Because if you are going to avoid replacing the shocks because of the price, and one of the options is to get a less expensive and fewer bells and whistles shock absorber. Shock absorbers are very crucial to the safety of you and the vehicle. Because if you don't have shock absorbers that work, then the car bounces all over the road and you really have very poor control. And it happens so gradually you don't even realize it.
So I agree.
First of all, it's unconscionable of you to
Did you realize that yours were gone? Because if it does happen that gradually. What gave you a hint?
Somebody got in the in the car with them.
When we go over the speed bumps that are near my house.
You never come down.
Right. I'm bald, and I leave some skin on the top of my car.
Right. Where's Tom? He was here a minute ago.
Look at that shine on his head.
Really. And we're going to go take a trip up near your way in a couple weeks for fall foliage, and I want to be sure that we're pretty safe up there.
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm taking my mom with us, and I don't want to have her going through the roof, too.
Oh, no.
The answer to your question is yes. Yes, you don't have to put in these
here's a more important
shocks.
Are you married?
Well, not technically.
Not technically. Are you taking a woman friend?
Yes.
Who's going to sit in the front seat with you? Mom or she?
Oh, good question.
Or her.
Oh, this...
That was a shark. He needs sharks. He's going to buy them.
You put your finger on the nub of this whole issue here.
Yeah.
I think Mom will.
Mom will going to sit up front,
huh? Yeah, I think Mom will.
So, and what's your girlfriend's name?
Karen.
Karen's going to sit in the back with the golden retriever.
Rottweiler.
That kind of leads to my next question.
Yeah.
Can I put on just two?
You chiseler.
Yeah, and then the question is, should you put them in the front so Mom can have them, or in the back so Karen can have them?
Right.
No, Tom, you're getting yourself into a lot of trouble here.
Yeah, the first mistake you made is inviting your mother. But that's all right. Mom versus Karen. I mean, how important is this relationship to Karen?
Oh, it's rock solid.
You'd have to ask her.
Well, how important is it to you?
Oh, important.
It's important.
Sure it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I would very, very strongly recommend that you alternate the front seat. Maybe even have one of them drive.
Yeah, I would have Karen drive.
Put me in the back.
And stick you in the back, yeah.
That would be really good. And I would make sure that Mom got the back seat occasionally. Otherwise, Karen is not going to feel equal.
Right.
Oh.
And she certainly deserves to feel equal.
Does Mom get along with the Rottweiler?
We'll find out.
Yeah, definitely alternate.
I didn't mean that Karen was the Rottweiler. I meant the
No, Karen is a sweet person. I know that.
I'm sure.
Well, you know, guys, I've talked to several dealers, and I get different stories.
What do they know? Do they know Karen?
No.
Oh.
No, they don't.
Oh, you talked to them about the shark. We're back to the sharks again.
I think you can safely put – I don't think there's any difference, truthfully, although I've never done it. But I'm pretty sure if they will bolt up, you can safely put in the conventional sharks.
Some of them tell me that they won't even fit, and others say they'll fit, but it won't be as good a ride.
I don't honestly know. The adjustable sharks may come with different springs. In other words, that whole suspension system may be different.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, then you probably have to bite the bullet and go with the sharks that the vehicle came
in. And it's really important to the safety of the trip. If you're going on a long trip, you want sharks that work.
Right.
Especially if you're going to have Karen and Mom in the same vehicle. Believe me, you want sharks that work. It'll make the trip much more
pleasant.
Because
if the Rottweiler starts puking, then the trip is going to be really, really... uncomfortable.
Good luck, Tom.
All right, thanks, guys.
Rotate that front seat, man.
All right.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Colleen from Cold Creek, Nevada.
What's up, Colleen?
Well, my fiancé and I just bought this house up in Cold Creek. It's about 50 miles northwest of Las Vegas.
A little premature, isn't it?
Pardon?
Never mind.
Okay.
House in Cold Creek.
Yeah, it's at 6,300 feet, and it gets some pretty severe weather, and we're hearing from the locals that we definitely need a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, which we don't have right now. Like I said, we have a 50-mile commute. 34 of it is on desert highway, and about 14 miles or so is on paved road that climbs from 2,000 to 6,000 feet. And then the last mile is about a mile and a half of hilly washboard or corduroy-type roads, as the locals call it.
Corduroy, I like
it. Is wide whale corduroy or what?
Yeah, wide whale corduroy.
And that last mile is the reason that you're going to buy a four-wheel drive?
No, it's the ascent. It's the vertical piece from 2,000 to 6,000.
Exactly. No, believe it or not, the last mile and a half is the worst part because that's where they get the snow. At about 5,000 feet or so, or maybe 5,500, there's no snow. It goes down into desert.
Yeah.
But it's not just snow. It's the ice and like I said, the corduroy road.
Right, and it's that transitional stuff, too.
Yeah.
The freezing rain, the hail.
Wow.
120-mile-an-hour winds, believe it or not.
What are you, nuts?
I'm serious.
Go back.
Well, I mean, how often does this happen?
Often. It's,
all winter.
Yeah, it's a pretty severe area. We're off the grid up there. There's no power either. So it's a pretty interesting place.
Yes. Sounds inviting to me.
Hey, I think so.
You do, huh? You're an adventurer.
Well, my fiancé wanted me to move to the desert, and I really didn't want to. I'm from Michigan, so he looked for the coldest, greenest place close to Las Vegas that would keep me happy and keep me from being homesick.
What a sweet guy.
So, I know.
So we found this hell on top of a mountain.
And he's convinced you that it's paradise.
It's paradise.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad that for the lousy 2 miles, you have to buy a four-wheel drive vehicle.
I got it.
What's the solution?
I, I got it.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Does it involve the car or the house?
Neither.
Neither.
No.
All the women.
No, you need a parking space at 4,000 feet.
Exactly. We
I
have
thought
one.
Of that, actually.
And you need a cable car to take you to the house. Right?
Or an old beater.
Hey, but listen to this. Believe it or not, there are people who live close to us who do just that. They park their car, and then they take a snowmobile in.
That's exactly what you need. You need some alternative vehicle. And what came to my mind is the aerial tramway, because it's exciting and panoramic.
It's slightly
yeah,
cost
it's
prohibitive.
Be panoramic through 120-mile-an-hour winds.
Ah,
and a
so the car will bounce around a little bit. What's life if there's no adventure in it?
Yeah, I mean, why suffer for the rest of your life with the four-wheel drive thing? Who needs it?
Well, the other thing is, though, we do lead a pretty
active
lifestyle, exactly. And we go up into the mountains and we go skiing, and so we could put the four-wheel drive to good use.
Yeah.
You're ready for a Jeep Grand Cherokee or a Ford Explorer or something
of
that.
A Nissan Pathfinder or a Toyota Land Cruiser.
Or Discovery.
That would be good.
What about the Subaru Outback?
The Land Rover Discovery.
Subaru Outback is okay.
Yeah. Any of those is a viable choice.
Okay.
But none of them is as exciting as the aerial tramway. Think about that. Good luck, Colleen.
We'll consider. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Daryl.
Daryl, D-A-R-R-E-L-L.
Correct. Absolutely.
No kidding.
Correct.
I wrote D-A-R-Y-L.
Well, that would be incorrect.
Good.
Yeah. I figured that out, big mouth.
Where are you from,
Daryl? You have to tell the whole world about it.
From Nitro, West Virginia.
Where? Nitro?
Nitro.
Like N-I-T-R-O?
Exactly like, as in kaboom.
Boy, I'm batting 1,000 on spelling today, huh?
Nitro.
Hey, I'm telling you.
West Virginia.
You know why? That's coal mining country, and they use nitro to dig those mines or something.
Well, actually, nitro was founded around an ammunition plant.
No kidding.
I wouldn't lie to you about that.
And they named a town after it.
Indeed they did.
Wow.
Right, it's right next to toluene.
And Tri.
And Xylene.
The Tri-City area.
The Tri-City area. It used to be Tri-City, now it's one big pile of rubble. Barney.
So what's up, Daryl?
Well, I have a moral question.
Oh.
Moral dilemma. Yeah,
really?
A moral dilemma.
You're about to cheat somebody, huh?
No. Well, not exactly, I don't think.
And you want our help, right?
I want your help in resolving which is the correct way to go, yes.
Oh, you've come to the right people.
You absolutely have.
You have certainly come to the right people. If
we will
know,
give you both
right
avenues, no matter what.
We'll tell you what the right thing is to do, and we'll give you a lot of ideas on why not to do it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was driving to my parents' home in Ohio, mm-hmm. and taking the back roads through farmland and strip mine land.
Yeah.
And as I was driving, I was thinking, you know, it'd be nice to get a haircut along in here. But there was no public facility, and it was daylight and kind of open, and the local constabulary kind of frowns on that.
Yes.
And so I kept driving, and it just went from it'd feel nice to, boy, I really need to, hey, this is urgent, to, whoa, this is imminent. And I'm looking at these little tiny trees and thinking, that looks like poison ivy around them, so that isn't a good idea. And about this time, I see a sign that looks like it has two arches.
Yeah.
And I covered one eye because I'm thinking, you know, I might be cross-eyed by this point. But it still had two. It was not an advertisement for St. Louis. So I stopped there, got my hair cut. And here's my moral dilemma.
Yeah.
I've used their facilities, which are, of course, paid for by their corporate profits.
Mm-hmm.
Am I then responsible to go up and help contribute to the corporate profits?
I see.
Well, I mean, this is a small moral dilemma.
How many times have you done this?
Well...
Yeah. A couple, huh?
Couple, probably, yeah.
I mean, do they have a sign there that says restroom use is for our
patrons
only?
Well, it actually doesn't.
Well, no. If it doesn't, if I was going to say if it did...
Then I'm obligated.
Cover one eye when you go by. So, no.
If it did, you certainly would be obligated. On the other hand, if they are the only place within 100 miles, this must happen all the time.
Yeah, well, that's...
And so if they didn't want you to be getting a haircut there... then they would probably have the sign.
Okay, no. I'll buy that.
Yeah, I would. First of all, I wouldn't worry about it unless they catch you and reprimand you. That's
the use the back door approach.
I would use the back door approach. And more than that, I mean, the reason there are no other rest areas within 50 miles of this place is they want you to stop there.
Well,
because
yeah.
they figure that some people are going to sneak in the back like you do and use the facilities and jump in the car and take off. But the vast majority of people are going to feel not an obligation, but some kind of a compunction to actually buy something.
Yeah,
they're going to smell that grease wafting out of those fryolators, and they're going to go in and buy a large fries and a Coke.
You, on the other hand, had no such compunction. I mean, you just blatantly went in, used the facilities, and left and said, ha! How could you have done that anyway? Did you feel a little guilty? Did you, like, sneak out?
Well, I thought about it, and then I thought, you know, Ray Kroc has enough money already.
He's dead anyway. He's got enough now.
He certainly has got enough, right. I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't. I think if that's the worst of your moral dilemma,
then you're a pretty good guy.
If they say something to me, I'll refer them to you.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Send a note to Haircut Division, and we'll respond to it quickly.
See you, Daryl.
Thank you much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frog man.
Pumpkin lips.
Pumpkin lips Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Eau Claire, Braised Hair, Poached Pear, Sole Meunier, Haricot Vert, Pomme de Terre, and Chocolate Eclair Food Fair, is John Bugsy Lawler. He's getting hotter every week. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. The head of our organ donation program is Olivia McCollin. Our layoff counselor is Harry Verderci. Our head diagnostician is Pat Ansa. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to, of course, our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham and Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known to the frat boys relieving themselves on John Harvard's brass shoes in Harvard Square, as Huey Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1336, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can sign up for your own make model discussion area.
Yeah, so if you have, say, an 06 Honda Accord, you can choose to see only those comments that are about an 06 Honda Accord.
Right, and you can be alerted daily or weekly when there's a new posting about your specific car.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. And it saves me from having to scroll through thousands of useless posts about cars built after 1953.
Yeah. Well, check out your own make model specific discussion area.
You'll find it all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Sylvia Poggioli ponders that offer from Good Morning Uzbekistan whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.